Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. On today's show, you'll hear the second and final part of the speech given by researcher and longtime 9/11 truth activist Kevin Ryan, in which he outlines the 11 parallels between 9/11 and COVID-19. Kevin Ryan is the author of the book Another 19, and he's been involved in the 9/11 truth movement from very early on. He spoke here at the University of Hartford in 2010 at our World Trade Center Building 7 conference and has been interviewed on this show several times in the past. His speech was given on September 10th, 2020, as part of an online 9/11 Truth Film Festival sponsored by the Northern California 9/11 Truth Group, and it was live streamed at noliesradio.org, where it is still archived. So first, let's review the 11 parallels between 9/11 and COVID-19 that he outlined in the first part of the speech, which was shared on last week's show. And here they are. Incessant, fear-based media coverage. No investigation. The response to the problem kills far more people than the problem itself. There's false official accounts. The events are preceded by exercises mimicking the event. And in COVID-19, there was one in October of 2019 called Event 201. You can look that up. And then there were also many drills throughout last year called Crimson Contagion. Another parallel is insider trading. We have a few senators who made some money on that prior to the COVID outbreak. Then there are suspicious benefits for a powerful few. Intel agency control of information, an elusive, all-powerful enemy. With 9/11, of course, that was Al-Qaeda, and now, of course, we have the virus. And then there's abuse of science. And the last one is censorship of dissent. This censorship is huge, huge, huge concerning the coronavirus and 9/11. So those are the 11 parallels between 9/11 and COVID-19 that Kevin Ryan outlined in his speech. And now we're going to hear the final 5 minutes or so of that speech. So here he is, Kevin Ryan.
But I have one last observation. Have you noticed that terrorism has not been in the news this year? Every year since 9/11, there's been a major terrorist event in the U.S. And many people have died from terrorism each year, but not in 2020. Could it be that COVID-19 is somehow replacing terrorism? If it is a psychological operation, we have to ask who's behind it. Who benefits? Billionaires and some of the largest corporations in the world. And they just happen to be providing the information and the solutions. Who are we being told to trust? The World Health Organization, the WHO, Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, and the CDC are the people we're being asked to trust in the United States. So let's have a closer look at these people to see if they are the humanitarians we're being asked to believe they are. The WHO has driven most of the response to COVID-19. And the WHO has a history of hyping pandemics to drive pharmaceutical company profits. That was the case in 2005 with the bird flu. 150 million people would die, WHO said. And again in 2009, when WHO was widely criticized for changing its definition of a pandemic to help sell vaccines for the swine flu. The WHO gets 80% of its funding from private donors, largely pharmaceutical companies and those representing their interests. The largest donors include Bill Gates' Vaccine Foundation, Gavi. WHO's current director, Tedros Adhanom, is the first non-medical doctor in that position and has a history of being called Dr. Cover-Up for his efforts to cover up epidemics in Ethiopia. And finally, believe it or not, the WHO hired Hilda Knowlton to manage its COVID-19 messaging. Remember those babies thrown out of incubators in Kuwait? Complete fabrication that never happened. That was the product of Hill and Knowlton, and they're now giving us the story on COVID-19 on behalf of the WHO. Bill Gates is not a doctor. Hopefully people recognize that. He is in fact a ruthless schemer, according to his Microsoft co-founder, Paul Allen. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has monopolized the global health industry, and they've invested heavily in mechanisms of population control via vaccines, biometric identity mechanisms, and a cashless society. The Gates Foundation and the entities it funds were behind the exercises that practiced for this crisis including Event 201. And when discussing COVID-19 recently, Gates has said, we have to prepare for the next one. That will get attention this time. I call this Pandemic 1. How about CDC and its leader, Robert Redfield? The CDC also has a history of pushing harmful messages on behalf of big business. In 1976, the CDC urged all Americans to get an untested swine flu vaccine, resulting in many people developing neurological disorders. In 2016, a group of CDC senior scientists filed an ethics complaint against the agency, saying that it appears our mission is being influenced and shaped by outside parties and rogue interests. The scientists in their complaint said that in order to pursue political objectives, definitions were changed and data was cooked. CDC's current director, Robert Redfield, led the Pentagon's disastrous response to HIV/AIDS in the 1980s. He was finally fired from the job in 1994 after military investigators charged him with engaging in a systematic pattern of data manipulation, inappropriate statistical analyses, and misleading data presentation in an apparent attempt to promote the usefulness of a vaccine. Again, these are the people leading the coronavirus crisis and its response. How about Dr. Anthony Fauci? He also has a sordid past with respect to HIV/AIDS. Anybody seen the Oscar-winning movie, The Dallas Buyers Club? Fauci was the bad guy, the anonymous bad guy. He pushed the failed cancer drug AZT on HIV patients, encouraging all of them to take it, despite existing data showing it was very toxic. Many died from the toxicity. And as I discussed, Fauci-funded weaponization of coronaviruses in Wuhan, China. These were viruses just like the one that causes COVID-19. Fauci has boasted that his agency and Bill Gates' Gavi worked together to push vaccines with outright collaboration between us. So having examined all these people that we're being asked to trust, we have to ask, where's all this headed? I think people are being conditioned by the media and government to accept the next steps. Interestingly, laws made after 9/11 and the anthrax attacks are what has made it possible for these next steps to be taken. For example, the BioShield Act of 2004 allows for emergency use vaccines to be rushed past the normal safety measures taken for other vaccines. The resulting poorly tested vaccines will be made mandatory in one way or another. Plenty of discussion of this in the media. And Bill Gates has told us that we don't have a choice about being vaccinated. Biometric identities are likely to be implemented, along with a new cashless society. And these steps will allow whoever controls all this data to track and really control every moment of our lives. So in summary, I'd like to talk about what we've observed in this presentation. First of all, we've observed that COVID-19 has a lot in common with 9/11, and that the rich and powerful are getting richer and more powerful due to COVID-19, and that the damage and death from the response to COVID-19 is already far worse than the virus. So that brings me to my hypothesis. You may have your own hypothesis. This is mine. Coronavirus scare is a psychological operation intended to facilitate a new level of population control for the benefit of the powerful few. It's possible that SARS-CoV-2 was manufactured for the purpose. But without further investigation and transparency, I believe our society is in danger of becoming a global totalitarian state.
And again, you were just listening to author and researcher Kevin Ryan. The full video of this presentation can be found at noliesradio.org. And once on the site, look through the archives and you'll find the 2020 Northern California 9/11 Film Festival. So the World Health Organization has been captured by the Gates Foundation and the big pharmaceutical industry. And both the WHO and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are being sued by several countries around the world for harmful vaccine programs that were imposed upon them. Robert Kennedy Jr. has exposed much of this through his organization and website called childrenshealthdefense.org. He recently spoke to a massive crowd in Berlin, Germany, protesting the lockdowns and masks there. And he stated, quote, COVID-19 is a crisis of convenience for the elites. His organization, the Children's Health Defense, also filed a lawsuit recently against Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, and three fact-checking companies, charging them with censorship of truthful public health information. So you can see why the global elite might not be so fond of him, and he's often being smeared in the mainstream media. And just like the World Health Organization, the CDC is a captured organization, captured by the very industry it should be regulating. And now we're going to hear Robert Kennedy Jr. discussing the state of affairs at the CDC. And the clip you're about to hear comes from an interview he did on January 31st, 2020, so pre-COVID pandemic here in the U.S., on RT America on the Rick Sanchez Show. So here he is, Robert Kennedy Jr.
Well, there are revolving door problems with all of our federal agencies and all of our state agencies. There's a phenomena that is very well documented called agency capture, which is a phenomenon or a dynamic by which the agency that's supposed to protect the American public from bad drugs or from pollution or what have you ultimately becomes a subsidiary or a sock puppet for the industry that it's supposed to regulate. And indeed, that's what we see with the CDC. The head of CDC from 2002 to 2009, as you point out, was Julie Gerberding. She did a number of billion-dollar favors for Merck. She silenced a whistleblower who was William Thompson, who is still a scientist at the CDC, who wanted to tell the public that testing of Merck's vaccine showed that particularly the MMR vaccine was causing autism in black boys and other people who got the vaccine on time, and that the scientists had been ordered to destroy data showing that effect, and that they went ahead and published the study, lying about it to the American people and to physicians. And Julie Gerberding did a huge favor to Merck by having that scientist punished and then silenced. She arranged for Merck to get the monopoly to the multi-billion dollar MMR vaccine and to make sure Glaxo could not sell its vaccine in this country. She approved the HPV vaccine, Gardasil, which is another Merck product. She approved the chickenpox vaccine and silenced whistleblower Gary Goldman, who's another doctor who said this vaccine is going to cause a shingles epidemic. Merck then not only got the chickenpox vaccine, but it also was able to market a shingles vaccine. She retired in 2009, and she was made president of Merck's vaccine division in 2010 with a salary of about $2.5 million, I think about $5 million in stock options. CDC is actually a vaccine company. CDC has a total budget of about $11 billion a year. It spends $5 billion of that buying vaccines from those four companies, making sweetheart deals that are much higher, where we pay with taxpayer money much more for the vaccines than they pay for the exact same vaccine in Europe. And then they distribute those vaccines to the American public. So they're approving the vaccine. They're mandating for them for the public. They're buying them from these companies who they're friends with. And then they're basically forcing 78 million people to take an untested product. CDC also owns patents on many of the vaccines. In fact, across HHS, which is the mother agency, FDA, CDC, and NIH, which all regulate vaccines, different parts of the vaccine industry are all parts of HHS. And those agencies are allowed to hold patents on the vaccines that their scientists work on and then collect royalties. And in fact, officials in those agencies who worked on the vaccines can also own part of the patent and collect royalties of up to $150,000 a year. So every bottle of Gardasil that is sold, HHS is making money on it. They make tens of millions of dollars a year. So you have the regulatory agency actually making money by pushing, by mandating this vaccine to people and then collecting money on it and ignoring the health effects when people are injured. And these are zero liability products. No matter how toxic the ingredient, no matter how grievous your injury, no matter how negligent the company, you can't sue them. They can do anything they want with a vaccine, and you can't do anything about it. Now, the four companies that make all 72 of these vaccines, Merck, Sanofi, Pfizer, and Glaxo, are all convicted felons. Those four companies in the last decade have paid over $35 billion in damages and penalties and fines or criminal fines for defrauding regulators, for falsifying science, for lying to doctors, for lying to patients and customers, for killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. You know, for example, Merck's flagship product before it put Gardasil on the market was Vioxx. Vioxx killed between 120,000 and 500,000 Americans. It was a pill that Merck marketed as a headache pill that caused heart attacks. Merck knew that it caused heart attacks because it knew it from its clinical trials, but it decided not to tell anybody. Most of those people who took that pill for a headache or for arthritis pain probably would have taken an aspirin if they knew that pill could have killed them. It requires a kind of a weird cognitive dissonance for people to think that this same company, which is making most of our vaccines, is lying about its medical products and killing people, and is lying about its medical devices. But somehow it's decided to tell the truth about vaccines, which is the only product where it can never get caught. The only reason that all of those companies, that Merck got caught on Vioxx and those other companies got caught on their other products, is because private plaintiff's attorneys representing injured clients sued the company, got discovery documents that showed criminal behavior, and then walked those documents down to the U.S. Attorney's Office. That's what happened in Vioxx. The only place that could never happen is with vaccines, because you can't sue them. So there is no discovery. There are no depositions. There are no document searches. They can get away with it forever. And even if they get caught, there's nothing you can do about it, because you can't sue them. So it's crazy to think that, you know, and a lot of Democrats in our country, and I'm a Democrat, but this led to these mandates are being pushed by Democrats across the country, and they will tell you, yeah, these companies are corrupt. They gave us the opiate crisis, and they knew they were going to do it, and they did it anyway. And to think that those same companies somehow, you know, are corrupt on every other product, but somehow when it comes to vaccines, they found Jesus, and they're not going to do that when they know they can't get caught. By the way, I'll make one last point. These companies today are making $60 billion a year selling vaccines, and they're making about $500 billion a year, half a trillion dollars, selling the albuterol inhalers, the Advair for asthma, the Adderall and Ritalin and Concerta for ADHD, the diabetes medication, and the anti-seizure drugs, and all of these medications for the chronic diseases that are caused by vaccines. That is a really good business plan for them, a really bad health plan for the United States of America.
The UN's World Health Organization says that anti-vaxxers are among the top 10 global health threats of last year, 2019. What's your reaction to the movement against vaccinations, or rather unsafe vaccinations, being characterized in this way?
Well, you know, that's part of pharma's strategy to mandate vaccines for every man, woman, and child in the world, and to give us all the IDs and to make it so that we can't travel, we can't drive a car, we can't get an education, we can't exercise our constitutional rights unless we coercively consume, you know, by force, they're untested, zero liability medical products. The World Health Organization, that's really a misnomer. The World Health Organization is even more captured than CDC is. The World Health Organization gets half of its budget from industry. It is absolutely controlled from top to bottom by the pharmaceutical companies, and particularly the vaccine makers, who use WHO to, you know, fabricate pandemics like the swine flu, like the H1N1, and make billions of dollars on pandemics that never happen and end up hurting a lot of people in the process, and using the WHO to dump bad vaccines all over Africa and tell the African countries, you know, you got to take these or you're going to lose all of your budget for your health departments and for HIV treatment and everything else. WHO is just a sock puppet for the pharmaceutical industry, and that's part of the pharmaceutical industry's strategy to make us all take untested medical products out. You know, I am pro-vaccine, but I want safe vaccines. People call me anti-vaccine because that's a way of shutting me up and marginalizing me and saying, well, you don't have to pay attention to him. He's anti-vaccine. And people who are anti-vaccine are crazy. But I've been fighting to get mercury out of fish for 35 years. Nobody calls me anti-fish. I like to have seatbelts in automobiles. People don't say I'm anti-automobile because I'm asking for something completely reasonable, which is to have a vaccine safety tested the way that every other medical product has to be safety tested. And what I've said to the vaccine industry, to the regulators, to the press that tries to shut me up, show me one study that favorably compares vaccinated children to unvaccinated children and shows that the vaccinated children are actually healthier. And I will post that on my website, and I will get out of this business, and I'll go back to Waterkeeper and protecting rivers full time, which is what I want to be doing with my life.
So the WHO and the CDC are directing our response to the coronavirus. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is very influential over both organizations, and so is Big Pharma. So now I'm going to read you a passage from a new book out by Vandana Shiva called Oneness Versus the 1%, Shattering Illusions, Seeding Freedom. And the passage I'm reading are on the pages 177 through 178 in the epilogue. And here goes. In March 2015, Bill Gates showed an image of the coronavirus during a TED talk and told the audience that it was what the greatest catastrophe of our time would look like. The real threat to life, he said, is not missiles, but microbes. When the coronavirus pandemic swept over the earth like a tsunami 5 years later, he revived the war language, describing the pandemic as a, quote, world war, unquote. He said the coronavirus pandemic pits all of humanity against the virus. Vandana Shiva goes on to say, the coronavirus pandemic and lockdown have revealed even more clearly how we are being reduced to objects to be controlled with our bodies and minds as the new colonies to be invaded. On March 26, 2020, at a peak of the coronavirus pandemic and in the midst of the lockdown, Microsoft was granted a patent by the World Intellectual Property Organization, and its patent number WO060606, and it declares that, quote, human body activity associated with a task provided to a user may be used in a mining process of a cryptocurrency system. The body activity that Microsoft wants to mine includes radiation emitted from the human body, brain activities, body fluid flow, blood flow, organ activity, body movement such as eye movement, facial movement, and muscle movement, as well as any other activities that can be sensed and represented by images, waves, signals, texts, numbers, degrees, or any other information or data. The patent is an intellectual property claim over our bodies and minds. And again, that was from the new book by Vandana Shiva called Oneness Versus the 1%, Shattering Illusions, Seeding Freedom, which just came out. And this seems like a good place to talk about ID 2020. What is ID 2020? Well, according to Peter Koenig, in his March 12, 2020 article posted on globalresearch.ca titled The Coronavirus COVID-19 Pandemic, the real danger is Agenda ID 2020. And in this article, he states, quote, what is the infamous ID 2020? It is an alliance of public-private partners, including UN agencies and civil society. It's an electronic ID program that uses generalized vaccination as a platform for digital identity. The program harnesses existing birth registration and vaccination operations to provide newborns with a portable and persistent biometrically linked digital identity. The ID 2020 Alliance, in their 2019 summit entitled Rising to the Good ID Challenge in New York in September of 2019, decided to roll out their program in 2020. A decision confirmed by the World Economic Forum in January 2020 in Davos. Their digital identity program will be tested with the government of Bangladesh. Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, and partners from academia and humanitarian relief, as they call it, are part of the Pioneer Party. Is it just a coincidence that ID 2020 is being rolled out at the onset of what WHO calls a pandemic? Or is a pandemic needed to roll out the multiple devastating programs of ID 2020? Agenda ID 2020 is related to Agenda 2030. And now I'm going to read to you a passage from the book When China Sneezes, From the Coronavirus Lockdown to the Global Politico-Economic Crisis, edited by Cynthia McKinney. And this particular passage comes from the section in the book written by journalist Helen Buyinski. And here she describes what Agenda 2030 is. Agenda 2030 is an ambitious plan to unite humanity under a technocratic global regime under the guise of, quote, eliminating poverty, unquote, and, quote, promoting sustainable development, unquote. Adopted by the United Nations in 2015, its 17 sustainable development goals and 69 targets sound quite benign on the surface, even noble. Who doesn't want to end poverty and save the planet? But viewed from another angle, form the scaffolding for an unprecedented and inescapable control grid that will leave no one behind. The police state emerging from the coronavirus pandemic fulfills a staggering number of these goals, and not in the warm, fuzzy way the plan was presented at the UN. And I'm going to end the show today by reading to you the last three paragraphs of the book Oneness versus the 1% by Vandana Shiva. And here goes. As I look to the future in a world of Gates and tech barons, I see a humanity that is further polarized into large numbers of throwaway people who have no place in the new empire. Those who are included in the new empire will be little more than digital slaves. Or we can resist. We can seed another future, deepen our democracies, reclaim our commons, regenerate the earth as living members of a one earth family, rich in our diversity and freedom, one in our unity and interconnectedness. It is a healthier future. It is one we must fight for. It is one we must claim. We stand at a precipice of extinction. Will we allow our humanity as living, conscious, intelligent, autonomous beings to be extinguished by a greed machine that does not know limits and is unable to put a brake on its colonization and destruction? Or will we stop the machine and defend our humanity, freedom, and autonomy to protect life on Earth? This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.